So we will begin by standing for the Pledge of Allegiance, if you'll join us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have the board action items, the consent agenda, the warrants, the minutes for January 2015 meeting, and the financial reports for January 2015. Are any questions or discussion on that?
I move that we approve them.
Second.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? We have personnel actions, names for approval.
I have one name tonight for approval. This is James Skinner as half-time custodian at Emory High School. This is to replace Mike Monfredi, who's the next item on the agenda. Should have got him in the other direction, I guess. Letter of resignation. Mike actually finished the end of January. He is having knee replacement surgery and has made the decision not to return. So present the name of, or Mr. Davis recommends the name of James Skinner to be halftime custodian at Emory High. And I'd recommend the board approve that.
I'd make a motion that we approve that.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Letter of resignation.
Yeah, I have a letter of resignation from Mike Monfredi, and I just explained that. I just recommend the board accept that letter of resignation.
I move that we accept it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
We have one other letter to read, and I'll turn the time over to Nanette Tanner for that.
Thank you, Superintendent. Dear Superintendent Kirk Citra, members of the Emory County School Board, constituents, fellow Emory County residents, it is with very mixed emotions that I write this letter. I have loved serving the good people of Emory County as a member of the school board for the past 6 years. I've enjoyed my association with the other members of the school board, Superintendent Citra, and the great district staff, and my interaction with the faculty of our district. I could never say enough good about the education I received and my children receive in our schools. I am also very excited about the other events unfolding in my life. I look forward to expanded service to the community through the mortuaries. I had not anticipated this development in my life, but embrace it willingly and lovingly. I believe it is important for me to be wise, sensible, and realistic about my capacity. I've always tried to put my family first and have worked hard to make sure I had adequate time to attend to the many callings of my life. I feel that with my increased duties and responsibilities associated with the amplified funeral service, reason compels me to let go of other obligations, specifically my service on the school board. I believe it is proper at this time to turn over that responsibility to someone else who can continue to devote the time and energy I have been able to give over the past years. I again express my gratitude for this opportunity and look forward to this new chapter of my life and the experience it will bring. I tender my resignation as of the 3rd of March, 2015. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Nanette. That letter needs to go to Laurel, I'm guessing. And I just want, on behalf of the school district, to thank you for your 6+ years of service as a member of the school board and your contributions to not only the business of operating a school system, but to the students of Emory County. And you have contributed greatly to good ideas and programs that have benefited students, and just want to express thanks. We do want to have you come to an additional board meeting at some point in the near future and properly recognize you for your service, but as the superintendent of the school district, on behalf of the school district administration and the teachers and other employees and the students, we want to thank you.
Well, thank you.
And I recognize also that your husband is here, Mark, and his support, and we do appreciate you, and we're sad to see you go, but we know that you're going to be a busy person. So, thank you.
Well, thank you.
And I would ask, Laurel, whatever you want to say, you can, but you need, I would also ask that you give a directive to the district staff or to me and the business administrator, at least, to begin the process immediately of seeking and advertising for interested individuals to apply and be considered by the other board members to replace board member Tanner on the school board. We have 30 days from March the 3rd to have that done, but we would like to begin immediately so that we don't. One of the reasons for this delay is that so we have a representative from precinct number 2 during the time that we have a process in place to make that replacement, so that we don't have to wait 30 days without a representative. But we do need the board president to direct us. It isn't by motion because it's not on the agenda, but a directive to at least begin the process of advertising and accepting names for consideration, and then at the March board meeting to interview and appoint and have someone sworn in that position. It will be an interim position for the remainder of this year and next in November of 16 would be the general election where this officially would, there was someone would be elected, but it would be an interim appointment for 2015 and 16. So,
okay. Oh, well, representing the school board, we would so direct you to go ahead, you and the business administrator, to begin the process of that replacement. And I would just like to take the opportunity to thank you, Nanette. It's been a pleasure to work with you. We've appreciated your insight and your wisdom and all that you've contributed and sacrificed for the school board and the school district. So thank you so much. And we wish you the best of luck in your endeavors and all that you do. And I don't know if I speak for the board, but anyway, we all feel that way. And we appreciate the things that you have done and wish you the very, very best in your, you have a lot on your plate. We recognize that. Thanks again. We will go ahead then with the Utah American Energy Tax Adjustment Judgment Levy.
Okay, we've received a letter from the County Treasurer's Office that the State Tax Commission approved an adjustment in the assessed valuation for Utah American Energy. And that would result in, well, that results in Emory County School District needing to refund an amount of $122,000. Utah American Energy. So I guess the matter at hand is would we like to pursue a judgment levy to pay for that refund. Anything over $5,000 we're allowed to issue a judgment levy for, and we would do that during our truth and taxation hearing in August. Some past years it would be my recommendation to do a judgment levy just with the amount that's needing to be refunded. It's not something we can just
absorb pull out of the hat,
so to speak. So, any questions on that, or?
So, do we need a motion?
I think we need a motion to go ahead.
I move that
yes.
We approve that judgment levy.
I'll second that.
All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Thank you for that. We are already to the principal's report.
Might indicate on number 4 on the agenda.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Needs to be tabled by motion.
Sorry.
I move that we table that till for further.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 This was the Green River City, and where's Mayor Brady? There you are. Met with the board last meeting on a tax increment financing agreement, and there have been some delays in that, and so that'll have to wait for another board meeting. So
Thank you.
On the refinery.
Thank you for that. Hopefully it's moving forward and we'll be able to do that another meeting. Thank you.
We need, just also, sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're good.
You can fire me if you want.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Ryan Hepworth is here as the counselor. He works at Canyon View and Green River High. But he needs to give a brief report on the comprehensive guidance that he's involved with. We told him that rather than adjust the agenda, since it's not an action item, because you've approved the continuation of the comprehensive guidance program
right.
already, but to give him a few minutes to report on his programs and so forth and do that right before the principal's report, if that's all right.
Sure. I'll be fine. I wasn't aware of that, but thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't notify you before board meeting.
That's fine.
Thanks, Superintendent Citrin and board members. I appreciate the opportunity to give this report, and I will try and be brief. And I have placed in front of you there some of the items that we have. This year, the counseling department went through what we call program approval or formal review, where an entity from the State Office of Education comes and reviews our program. And Principal Johnson and I went through that review. We did pass. Passing, there are 10 standards. And of the 10 standards to pass, you have to have 3 in 8 of the areas, and at least 8 of the areas. Hopefully you get 3s in all 10. That would be great. We're still working on that. We did have 2s in a couple of the areas. And I'm going to highlight those as goals, but first I want to thank Principal Johnson and the faculty and staff for their support, the great support of the counseling department here. The ones that we fell a little short on were Standard 2 and Standard 4. Standard 2 deals with data and program effectiveness. And the recommendations that I can't remember her last name, and get it right in Momi from the State Office of Education. She made some great recommendations, and we're trying to adhere to these. One of the recommendations on Standard 2 was to provide data, project information to district leadership, and to present it to the school board, which I am doing now. And that document is the one with the little bar graph. I can't find my copy of it. I got several. I've got one for you. Thank you. One of the things that we've been looking at with those students over the years, we've kind of been tracking the percentage of the seniors that actually applied for an employment. And we go back with that data for quite a ways. We try to disaggregate that data in boys, girls. We disaggregate it by race and economically advantaged or disadvantaged. This particular report, we just took the whole senior class. What we wanted to do is make a real special effort with all the seniors to try and get them all to college. We wanted to raise our percentage by 10%. We have to go by percentages because each class is a different size and our classes are so small here. We have to use the percentage ratio.
One student can make a significant impact.
Yeah, 10% is 1.7 students from the last class. So that was great. Our efforts did increase that by 25% over the last year. Students applying for and actually attending college. So we found that our female students were the ones that tend to go to school a little bit more. We're kind of looking at, on that line, this is a program improvement project. We have to do one of these for each school each year. And so this year we're kind of staying with this line, only we are doing some more things to try and increase that rate. One of the things that concerns us as we look at our disaggregated data is that this year we are just barely shy of 50% Hispanic population. Hispanic population is one of the lower percentages that we can get to go to college. We get one or two of these kids every year, but not very many. And so with this graduating class leaving, they're one of our highest percentage white population, or Caucasian. The class coming in is higher Hispanic, so we will actually go over 50% Hispanic.
It's an Amber Alert in Salt Lake, folks.
I just got one too.
I just had a defibrillator go off right here in my heart.
Yikes! I thought maybe it was Jed. Where's Jed?
Well, if somebody kidnapped Jed, never mind. It's okay. We're fine. Sorry, Ryan.
No, that's.
So this graduating class will make it so that the Hispanic population is over 50%. Is that what you're saying?
With the sixth grade coming in to the seventh grade, which is a higher percentage.
Okay.
So we will go over.
50.
We will go over, right?
What's the elementary at right now?
We're about 70%,
sure.
Aren't you?
Yeah, about that.
Yes,
about
right.
70%.
We were over 50% there already. So.
Yeah, and that's going to push the high school over. So
okay.
we are trying to do things to make the best situation for all of our students there. We have a website, thanks to Mr. Crawford at the district office.
You know,
that's
Ryan, just let me say one thing. What we need to look at, and we need to work on not only as a district, but here, but as a district too, is finding financial resources available out there for these students who are of these ethnic populations, mm-hmm. to allow them to attend post-secondary education, whether it's in an applied technology center or community college, USU Eastern, whatever. That's something we need to explore, because there has to be some kind of financial assistance available for these kids to be able to go on to post-secondary, even though many of them, that's not their goal.
Right.
But it really ought to be our goal to try to encourage them to attend college and to take advantage of any opportunities that we can find. And I'm sure that you and Principal Johnson and our counseling center there are aware of that. And we need to continue to work on that. So.
Yeah, one of our big problems with that has been undocumented students. And it's really hard to find
It would be.
They can't get the grants.
Yeah.
The scholarships that are available for them are private scholarships. And we have a few resources, but we need to find more of those that are out there. But that is getting better. And every time I go to counseling, the summer conferences, all the conferences and things that I go to, I'm always trying to get into those particular classes, breakout sessions that talk about those things that are available.
Okay,
so
thanks.
Thank you, Superintendent. Appreciate that observation. So that's
while you have that, actually, if I'd have read further down, you have in your systematic interventions, you talk about presentations on financial aid and federal assistance, scholarship searches, and so forth. So I maybe have been a little premature in saying we need to look for ways, because it looks like you've already included it in your goals. So.
No, you're not. we continue to do that. We do. We need to look for that. So. No, I appreciate that. But we are trying to post those things on our website, plus getting into the classroom to let those students know. And there are a couple of things that Standard 4 was one of our twos that we struggle with, and that's career exploration and development. Mommy had some great ideas for us for some field trips to Adobe and where are they at, Lehigh? I guess that's Lehigh and
there.
And then Energy Solutions does that. They like to take the students in and show them what it's like to start on the ground floor of that corporation and how to go up and what kind of education and things to do. So her recommendations were to partner with community industries to provide options for careers career exploration at different levels for the students. And then she suggested that we might partner with other schools to take students on college tours. We do get invited, we are invited every year to go to Moab to the college day, where all of the colleges come here, and we have been pretty successful in getting almost all of our seniors to that college day. So, but that's my report. I promise to be brief, so if there's any questions, I'd be happy to try and answer them. I'm nervous, so I probably need to.
My one question, is the website available in Spanish as well as English?
We're working on that.
Okay, it's being pursued.
As a matter of fact, thank you for bringing that up. We have two teachers on staff, Mr. Gallins and Mrs. Suarez, who are both fluent in Spanish. And we've used them before to write letters for us, to send to parents. And have you done a parent link for us?
No, I haven't linked it.
Oh, okay. Mrs. Suarez's husband did that for us. And so we are working
on
that too.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
That's a great question. I appreciate that.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your report.
I have a unique
for
challenge.
That you do for, yeah, your challenges that are here. Okay, I think it's you, Principal Durant.
I'd be glad to defer to Johnson if you'd like to go first. One of it's a delayed welcome since you're partway through the meeting, but welcome you for coming to the elementary school board meeting. Hopefully you noticed our, since the last time you were here officially, mm-hmm. we have a new parking lot. We're loving it.
That's
the
nice.
Community is loving it.
It is nice.
Helped alleviate a lot of the problems we had before. So we've been enjoying that since they finished it during the summer. As a faculty and staff, we've been working hard over this past year to help our students be successful. I do appreciate the hard work and dedication of everyone who works at our school, both faculty and staff. They truly give 150%, if not 200%, to our students all the time. They're here late into the night and on weekends, and we are truly grateful for their service. We also have a new fourth grade teacher on our staff this year, Christy Sen, and we're grateful to have the addition of her enthusiasm and her care for our students in our school. She's young and new, and she makes sure that she's given us a lot of excitement and a renewed sense of commitment to us, I think. Also, as you know, due to difficulties with her health, Mrs. Wilski is on extended sick leave and is not finishing out the second grade school year. We want to express how grateful we are for the many years that she's served in our community and in our school and the many lives she's touched. I think most people in this room have, if not having been taught by her, they've had students or children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews taught by her. So she has put in many years. I know, even before I was over here, she was my teacher in Huntington, so she is, well, I don't know, that's a good recognition for her, I hope it is. So she has put in a lot of time and effort in our district.
So is she really old or are you really young?
We decided that we were both really young. I was a prodigy and so was she.
Oh.
So we figured she was about 10 and I was about 8.
All right.
There you go.
That's what we're doing. So yes, we decided a long time ago that's how it went. So in order to finish the school year, Mrs. Pam Hunt has been gracious enough to accept that challenge. And she began that after Christmas to finish out the current school year. We were able to have our paraprofessionals have some extra time so that she has an assistant in there all the time and is able to teach both classes in their core courses and make sure that they get the education they need. She's stepped up to the task with a great professionalism and care for all of her students, and she's been doing an amazing job with this challenging task for her, and we appreciate all that she's done and all of the support that the faculty and staff have given her in this mid-year change for her.
Just for the board's information, we had 9 second graders, so
we provided two
that's
buses.
The reason
okay.
we went that direction for this for the rest of this year.
We also want to note that our faculty has been very supportive of one another in all of our varied assignments and been very flexible in trying to make sure that we're serving all of our students with our special ed and ELL way up. And we saw some students who have been struggling, and they just popped. So we're really excited about that for our students. And we know that that goes to the effort of the classroom teachers and then our teaching assistants and all of the time that they put in to help them. We are currently in the middle of WEVA testing, which Kay Nelson is administering for our ELL students during her ELL time. And we're about halfway through, without looking continuing. Next week, we will start the writing portion of the SAGE test and do those things. And then the remainder of that will begin in April for the remainder of the SAGE test. So it's testing season. And so we're encouraging our students to make sure that they're putting forth their best effort. We appreciate all that they do for us. We're excited about working with all the students in our school, and we want to continue to help our students in our school be as successful as possible.
Thank you, Melinda. We appreciate your work and your enthusiasm and facing the challenges that are here. And we appreciate so many of the faculty and staff being here. Thank you for your support and for all that you do. We wish Mrs. Wilski the best, and certainly appreciate her efforts here and in the district. And pass that along to those that aren't here, if you would. We will go ahead and go to the business administrator's report. Nolan, I forgot you.
He was nodding.
I'm so sorry.
He was going to have
you. You wouldn't want to miss this, would you?
I'm so sorry that somebody interrupted you.
We came all the way down here to hear you.
Jared mentioned that when he got out of the car, he started feeling a little ill, and we'll have to look into that. That may be something to do with our population.
Decline?
Probably, yes.
Sadly, we have had a lot of tragic deaths in our community.
Yes.
Our priority has really been to try and push academics and improve academics at Greenwood High, and we've been doing several things to try and improve academics. I know that last year, Mr. Goldman, as well as several of the other teachers, did several collaborative things with the core class teachers to help improve core performance on the testing, and it paid off because our students' performance was such an improvement that we wound up getting a B in our state grading, which was pretty exciting for us, and I think that was an entire staff's efforts to improve the core teachers as well as those non-core teachers who were trying to collaborate with the core teachers to improve students' performance in those areas. And it was pretty exciting for us as a school and a staff. Other things that we've been doing is through the School Community Council, I acknowledge Claudia St. Schaefer, Cindy McFarland, Denise Battaflora, and Gaina Salinas, who are all members of our parents on our School Community Council. Appreciate them being here, but through the Community Council, we set up a plan to try and increase student desire to perform well academically. And as part of that plan, we were going to go on academic field trips that would hopefully motivate students to want to be involved in that process. We first term went to Goblin Valley, and we hiked up into Little Wild Forest, a slot canyon there. And the students had a great time with this, and in fact, it was kind of surprising that how few students had ever been to Goblin Valley, which is so close by. And the students who went felt it was very positive. Students who didn't go went primarily because we said if they did not pass every class, if they had any Fs or if they had any Ns or Us, they would not be eligible to participate in the field trips. And so we had about 20 students who were unable to participate. At the end of second term, we went to the Dinosaur Museum in Price, and then the students in the afternoon went bowling. And some questioned that being academic. Academic is on the as part of the core curriculum regarding physical education, and very few of our went on that had been bullied before. It was an eye-opener for many of them. They found it very entertaining as well as educational to learn how to bowl and have that experience. So it was positive in that way too. Again, we had about 30 students who were unable to go, and we had additional students who chose not to go. So the effect of this has been a little disappointing, honestly, because the number of students who first term weren't able to go because of ends and use was 14, second term was 24.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't improve as we had desired. The students who failed or had Fs first term was 11, second term was 31. So it was even more disappointing there. And so, obviously, as a community council, we're going to need to relook at this and try to decide. However, on the positive side, the number of behavior issues that we've had this year from last year has declined, as has the number of ends and use and the number of Fs this year as compared to last year. So even though it increased between first term and second term, it's still down from last year and the performance that we had from our students last year. And we're concerned it's out of reach a lot of these students. One of the things that I might mention that we are proposing to do is to look at a block schedule, and you've got that. I put a copy of that block schedule that we're looking at for next year on your in your packets. But that block schedule would do a couple of things for us. One is it would allow us to double block math and language arts classes. So it would give a lot more time in math and language arts. And then in seventh and eighth grade, we could also double block science. It would also provide, which is our biggest frustration and our biggest concern, it would provide a study skills opportunity to put in a study skills class for seventh and eighth grade students, and hopefully I can figure out how to implement a study skills class for upper grade students. That study skills class would be primarily for the completion of homework. Currently, I did a report yesterday, and 78 of our students, and we've only got about 100, have missing assignments. And we are 2 weeks into the term. Just over 2 weeks into the term. And so that's a great frustration as a staff, and as teachers, and as a school that we've got, is students don't complete assignments. And in questioning and talking to students, a lot of it is they just don't feel like there's any motivation to do that once they leave school. And we can't control what happens at home, and so we feel like we've got to put a little bit more control in what we can do, and what we can is control what happens at school and provide them with a greater opportunity to complete assignments and that at school and also help. And that's some of the challenges that a lot of these students don't feel like they can get any help once they leave the school too, when they need help. And sadly, I don't know if we have the support of parents to help students complete assignments as we would like, as much as we would like. So that becomes problematic. We've had some good things happen, good additions to our staff. Mr. O'Brien is new to our staff, teaching music. Tawny Jensen teaches math, and she has taken the upper math courses, secondary 1, 2, and 3, which has allowed us to do a little bit of a remediation course for our 7th and 8th graders who are really struggling, so that we can get them up to level early on and not have them struggling through the entire high school experience. And so Mr. Brady does a remediation class working with these students. And the addition of Tawny really helped with that. We also have the addition of Mr. Morris in the business area. And
Suarez.
Yeah, Mrs. Suarez, who was mentioned earlier in that voice in our school, which is very helpful. Just by way of information on that block schedule, the block schedule I showed you is not my creation totally. That comes from Garfield County School District. The times are exactly from what is now implemented in Garfield School District, and all of their schools are on a block schedule. That's Panguitch High School, Bryce Valley High School, and Escalante High School. And they are all on this same 10-period block schedule. Washington County School District is going district-wide to a 10-period block schedule next year. And they've already approved that with the school board. Valley High School does a 10-period block schedule, and I have spoken with the principal of Valley High School a little bit about their schedule, as well as Bryce Valley, and some of the advantages of that. Escalante Valley and Bryce, or no, Panguitch Valley and Bryce Valley all wound up in the top 50 schools of the state last year. And in talking with the individuals I have talked with from those schools, they felt like that this 10-period block schedule was a real advantage to them in being able to accomplish that, because it provided some flexibility that otherwise they didn't have. The other advantage to this block schedule, they said, was that it gives more freedom for students to take courses that otherwise conflict with required classes, as well as that it has increased the number of students who graduate early from their schools. They've had almost no students graduate early at the end of their 11th grade in years past, and now they're having students who are graduating early at the end of their 11th grade year and going on with college course. So I think it would be a plus, and we hope that when we finalize this, I can get on the agenda and make a proposal regarding the schedule.
Tell us what your challenges are, Nolan.
Excuse me?
Tell us what the challenges are with the block schedule, the things that might be a challenge.
Some of the problems with the block schedule.
Not problems, but challenges that are going to have to be looked at.
The challenges I'm having with the block schedule is every teacher will teach 8 classes. And coming up with viable classes that the teachers are qualified and capable of teaching sometimes is a little difficult. That the teacher would be comfortable in teaching. The block schedule does have some challenges in that it's an A-B schedule, as blocks are, and so on Monday, Wednesday, they would be doing the A schedule, and on Tuesday, Thursday, B schedule, and then on Friday, both Garfield District and Valley High School, they do a shortened schedule on Friday, where they go to an A schedule 1 week and then a B schedule the next week. They did, in Garfield District, try to do one week they do A, B on Monday, Wednesday, and the next week do A, B on Tuesday, Thursday, but they found that they quit doing that because they found that it conflicted with EdNet classes. Mm-hmm. So the students would conflict with 2 EdNet classes if they were on a Tuesday, Thursday, had a Tuesday, Thursday EdNet class. And so they just went solid, staying that same. And then that way it did, or made it more compatible with EdNet. So students who had a class on Monday and Wednesday could take a different class on Tuesday, Thursday without it conflicting, or have some place to go, something to do, which can be a problem.
I only ask the questions because, you know, you and I and Gwen haven't had a chance to sit down and talk a lot about this, so. Although the block schedule concept is not new, I'm just looking at it for the first time, and I'm wondering how it impacts graduation requirements and how that would, what some of the questions that we need to ask. The concept of a block schedule typically is to give more time for instruction, even though you have 8 periods. You're expanding the length of time in those periods to a certain extent, and you can't teach the same way you always teach. You have to change the way you teach, because to use that time wisely, as instructional time, you can't just teach the same old way you always have. But the impacts, we need to discuss and discuss with the board the impacts on graduation requirements. Whether or not the board wants to go with two different graduation requirement sets within the one school district. And one of the challenges we've had when Carbon went to a block schedule is that we have students from Carbon who are calling Emory School District and wanting to enroll because Carbon School District requires 28 credits. Emory High and Greener High require 24 credits. They come up short credits there, so they want to come over and attend their last semester at Emory High so that they can graduate.
And we're hoping that that will happen for us also.
So your students will go to Emory High to graduate?
No.
Oh, that's a good strategy.
Yeah.
But I just, that's one of the challenges you'll face as a board is whether or not you have students who will come up short of credits.
And how that's
if you go to 28
resolved.
Credits here, how you're going to solve the problem of a student transferring to Emory High for one semester and getting a high school diploma where they can't. Yet they won't reach the 28 credits. So there are some things that have to be discussed. The concept is not a bad concept. It's just that things have got to be ironed out and worked out for it to be successful. And again, teachers have to understand that when you go to a block schedule, it isn't business as usual anymore. You have to learn how to teach differently.
Class period. You've probably thought about that, haven't you? Mm-hmm.
And some of our teachers, Mr. Brady has taught on the block schedule before.
Right.
And many of the teachers have attended.
I am not
on
expressing
block
opposition.
Schedule.
I'm
so
only looking at
the block schedule, more so than
challenges.
I am not familiar
so.
With the block schedule. And I have been hesitant over the years to do a block schedule. It's come up many times.
Well, I think it's come up at Emory High, hasn't it, Neil?
Yes, we did a study for over a year about it.
So.
But
those are things that happen, you know, we got to work
out. How we would resolve the graduation issue, I don't know. Valley High School and Garfield School District are still in the process of working into that, obviously,
transition.
For our seniors next year.
Yeah.
It wouldn't change anything. They just got 1 year left, 24 credits to graduate. That would still be the case for the juniors. They haven't got to that point. Those schools, although they have got it in their discussion, and Enterprise High School has been on this for, I think, 4 years, and I have not talked to anybody from Enterprise yet to see how they worked out some of those issues, and I have not talked to anybody.
Yeah,
from
we'll explore them. Yeah,
but
we'll
certainly there
we'll
are
explore
there
them
are
and see
questions
what.
And issues that would have to be worked through. Anyway. Thank you.
I just really appreciate board members Nolan and his staff's real high interest in improving academics.
Yes, definitely.
High.
Thank you. Definitely.
I don't think we've ever seen a time when there's more enthusiasm for becoming more academically oriented and wanting instruction to improve and kids to be challenged. And I just commend them for that effort. And you saw that through Ryan's report and through Mr. Johnson's report and, of course, the good things in Booklift. But I just commend the leadership that's taking place there in trying to improve the academic learning.
How active the community council
and the school community
exactly.
The school community council, too.
Kudos. Definitely.
I just commend
absolutely.
You for this effort to do
thank
that.
You.
And I know Gwen has worked really hard with Nolan and others on trying to get the right classes in place, and it's been a little stressful because of some of the losses that we had as far as endorsements, and I know that we have teachers working on other endorsements right now. We have a shop that's closed up there that we want to open, but it's, you know, it takes time to, you have to have the proper credentials and endorsements and safety training in order to open those shops. So, and we've also been in working with USU Eastern on possibilities for that shop too, but they haven't come to fruition yet. You know, we've looked at auto programs and other things that could possibly be looked at, but right now we haven't generated the kind of interest to be able to do that. Not interest with the staff and faculty, but with students.
With kids. Yeah.
So thank you very much on my behalf.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad we didn't pass you by. We needed to. We appreciate your candor, giving us what's happening, what you're trying to do, and your challenges as well. We need to be aware of what you're facing and some of the struggles that you're having and what you're doing as a community to bring about change.
Our demographics are definitely changing.
Right. Thank you.
We've got to make some changes to meet the needs of the population we have.
Right.
You have some
right.
unique challenges.
Yep, there are some challenges here, and thank you for that. Business administrator's report?
Nothing.
A superintendent's report?
I gave you a handout that has some information on transportation of ninth grade students at Emory High for home games. I'm just going to let you read that. It's on the agenda for action, but you can see some of the challenges we face there, and maybe what my recommendation would be. But we have the legislature in session. That's always a fun time. Spent a lot of hours up there during the end of the week, and I also spent a lot of time in conversations with our representatives. I've listed on this report some of the bills that are being considered currently, and this was as of yesterday, and things change overnight, so I'm sure some of these things change. Generally, there's anywhere from 100 to 150 bills, education bills introduced. I've just listed 8 or 9 here, but there is a push to move school board elections to partisan elections. That's a concern to me. If they do that, Senator Jackson has promised that he is going to take local school boards out of that bill, but he hadn't as of yesterday. I did talk with Senator Hinkins. It was before one of his committees. Asked him to make sure that Senator Jackson followed through with that. It's my feeling that there's really no place for party platform when it comes to kids.
No.
Yep.
They're not pawns in this. And I don't think that the elections for school boards should go to partisan elections, but even at the state level, but especially at the local school board level. There's also a bill that would amend the Constitution to have the members of the state board just appointed by the governor, too, so that's up there. There's a property tax equalization bill by Senator Osmond. It's Senate Bill 97. This is a bill that would work with the basic rate and either freeze it or do something with it to generate about $15 million a year over per year for 5 years, which would generate $75 million, a percent of which would go into the Capital Outlay Foundation program to be distributed to those districts who don't generate enough capital outlay funds for their needs, and then part of it going into a new growth fund to help fund new growth in the state. And the argument right now is not necessarily over the fact that it would be a value, but what percent split do you have for capital outlay and what percent would go toward other things? And in our school district, the more they put in the capital foundation program, the less we benefit. So
yeah.
We need to watch that just a little bit.
Yeah.
There's also a bill by Howard Stevenson to require a basic American civics education test as a condition for high school graduation diploma or adult ed diploma. It would be a 100 question test that you'd have to get at least 60 right to graduate. Right now we do require American government and law as part of the graduation requirements, and it would seem to me that if students can pass that class that it should meet that requirement, but this is Senator Stevenson's proposal. There's also a proposal by Senator Osmond to require us to prepare sample early graduation schedules to hand to parents and also to increase the Centennial Scholarship for early graduates. The problem we have with this is that there's as many ways to graduate
mm-hmm.
early as you have students.
Mm-hmm.
And there are online classes, there are Nolan mentioned the old term EdNet, which is IVC now, by the way, Nolan.
It'll change tomorrow.
Interactive video conferencing. It's always EdNet.
We can relate to EdNet, so we're okay.
But there are, you know, as many ways to go through a track as there are kids. So I don't know how that's going to be possible, but that's a law there also. And there's also one that would require that the state board not make any rules for licensing administrators. I don't understand that one, but you can read a little bit about it there. That you can't require them to have a graduate degree or even a teaching license or go through any kind of a preparation program. But you can require them to hold a, well, you can't require them to have a particular graduate degree, but you can require them to hold a graduate degree and pass the test.
It's really ambiguous.
I know, I can hear the mumbling. there's also a bill for digital learning, $10 million. At one time, this was $100 million. Now it's $10 million for technology. And there's a bill that would allow local city governments to authorize charter schools and charge or impose fees for oversight of those schools, which is another one that would be a challenge. Also, there was a bill to raise the income tax from 5% to 6%, but it did not come out of committee, so that's, I just put a note on that on the bottom. But anyway, I'm going to hand out to you just a couple of handouts so that you understand the process that as a board you will need to go through in selecting a new school board member. This is the Utah Code. I'm not going to read that to you. I know some of you will appreciate that. You can read it yourself. But let me just share with you, according to Utah Code, the board has 30 days from the date of the actual last date of the board member's term, or when the resignation takes effect, which in this case is March 3rd, which is the day before our next regularly scheduled board meeting, and there's a reason for that, to give us time to go through this 30-day process. If the board fails to appoint someone within that 30 days, then it's up to the county commission to make an appointment. The qualifications for a board member must be at least, according to Utah Code, it has to be at least 18 years of age at the time of the appointment. They must have been a resident of the school board precinct for at least 1 year as of the date of the appointment. That's not on your papers, by the way. I'm reading from a different paper. I can read this one to you. Must be and remain a registered voter in the school board precinct, maintain the primary residence in the precinct during their term of office. This is the one that may disqualify most of us that are already here. Must be mentally competent and have no felony convictions. May not serve as an employee of the board during the member's term of office. So they cannot be an employee of the board.
Oh, okay.
And still be on the board. It will be our plan to submit this to the newspaper before Friday, so it's in next week's paper, requesting that qualified individuals who are interested can submit a letter addressed to the board president and delivered to the school district office by February 25th. And in that letter, they would indicate their interest in filling the vacated position and any qualifications that they would like considered. It was our intent to do, then the board would interview those qualified candidates. Our intent was that would be on the night of your next board meeting, but we may have a challenge there we need to talk about, which would have been March 4th, and then make that final appointment and swear a new board member into office that evening. But we need all four board members there. Laurel, you'll be out of state. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if, as a board, you want to make a consideration of moving your board meeting to the 11th, or another date early in March where you will all be able to be there. These interviews are open meeting, except for those that haven't interviewed yet, but it will be open meeting, and we need to advertise it before then. So I don't know, Laurel, if you want to have a discussion on changing board meeting date.
You need to be there.
We should.
The 11th is the next Wednesday, or you can go to a Tuesday night.
Tuesday is fine. I could even do it on that Tuesday night before. I just can't do it on that.
Tuesday the 3rd?
Yeah, I could do it that night, but I just can't do it on the 4th.
Can we do that the 3rd then?
Would you rather do that or whatever's?
That might be tough because we've got the date already on record. You can't swear in another board member on a day that you have another board member still serving. So the 3rd might be pushing it, but the 10th, Tuesday the 10th or Wednesday the 11th.
I'll be gone till that week.
You're gone the whole week, okay?
The week of the what?
I'm gone on the 4th that week, so.
So.
10th or 11th?
10th or 11th.
I don't think I have a conflict. I think I can do that.
But you need to make sure that you can be there because we need all 4 other board members.
Somebody punches Sam again.
Yeah, that could be a problem.
Yeah, the 10th or 11th work for me, I think.
How does it work with your schedules, the district office?
The 10th might be a better date. The 11th.
The 10th is a Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But whichever those nights works for the board, we'll schedule around it somehow.
I can do either one.
I can do either one.
Doesn't matter to me.
Let's do the 10th and if that works for them.
March 10th?
And do we need a motion?
It's not on the agenda for a motion, but we will just proceed to advertise, and the advertisement would be the official notice.
Okay.
As long as you have consensus that that's the night you want to move it to.
Okay.
I apologize, that's.
As long as you send me a pack, it's fine.
You have a life?
Yeah, I have a life. Okay. Do we have any other things, Superintendent Sitchard?
No, we do have a couple of closed meeting items on disposition of property.
I move that we go into closed meeting for purposes of discussing disposition of property.
Second.
Superintendent, are you going to have a public comment?
Oh, sorry. No, yes, please. Are you public? Would you like to comment?
Boy, I'll tell you, we got.
We're not doing too well today. Public comment, please.
I have one.
Public comment.
Kim Player usually attends this meeting. She is at a conference tonight and asked if I could attend for her, and so that's why I'm here. But I just wanted to take a minute and from the association and from teachers, thank Nanette Tanner for the wonderful job that she's done. We appreciate the sacrifices we've seen her make, and she has made sacrifices here. And so from the teachers, we thank you very much. On a personal note, I've worked with her on the negotiations committee, and she's been extremely professional and kind, and you will be missed on that negotiations committee. So thank you. And that's all.
I'm glad we didn't miss that. Thank you, Neil.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We also did our spelling bee today.
Oh, how'd it go?
Andy Curtis from San Rafael was the champion. Jace Rudd from Canyon View was second, and Danny Joe Thatcher, Cleveland Elementary, was in 3rd place. So
wow.
They will represent us down in Moab on the 2nd of March. So.
Fantastic.
Everyone did a real good job, so I think they had a good time and were very competitive.
Good, good. Any other comments? Sorry for that.
So now I will make my motion, yes?
Yes.
That we go into closed session for disposition of property.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you for coming.
Yes,
we appreciate
thank you for
being
here. I know I have one of those, but I don't know where it is.
Yeah. Maybe I stole yours.